driven by Briggs Auto Lane
and BriggsAuto.com.
Get in the game.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts. Might be a little bumpy ride today. Welcome into the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Seems that we have come to a place where we now have both sides of the story on Corey Sutton. He will explain in his own words part of his side at 5:10. Had a chance to talk with him earlier today. Bruce Weber's going to join the show at 5:25. The non-conference schedule for the men's basketball season has been released, so we'll see if he feels like this schedule's appropriate for the team and if it's tougher than last year. You can't be serious. We'll finish things off at 5:50 as well. I'm sure plenty of people are going to have opinions today. You can tweet us at the game KMAN. You can also respond to the tweet that Tyler put out there, at Tyler Dreiling, just asking your thoughts on whether or not K-State should be granting the release of Corey Sutton. We are obviously going to discuss that at length here today. 537-1350, 866-776-1350, the phone numbers as well, and we are off and running. Okay, a lot has happened in the last 24 hours since we left the airwaves yesterday when we were just really starting to figure out some parts of this story. We saw the tweets from Corey Sutton right before we went on the air yesterday. Kellis's article came out right as we were getting off the air, basically, yesterday. Now Bill Snyder has responded, and with the response from Bill Snyder, I think we can put together basically what this story is. There might be more to it from K-State's side, but they're not going to say it. So as follows, this is basically what we have. And I have not only read the article, I've talked to Corey Sutton. I reached out multiple times to K-State, got literally nothing back. So I do not have anything from them on their response other than just the Bill Snyder quote that was given to Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. So here is the Corey Sutton story as we have it now based on the information that we have. Corey Sutton's side of this story is he more or less got recruited over coming into K-State. He was thinking he would have a lot of playing time. 2015, K-State did not have very much in the way of talented wide receivers. They really upgraded there, including Corey Sutton, by the way, who does, I mean, he's a guy who's proved that he can play, but they bring in Carlos Strickland, Byron Pringle, and he starts seeing the writing on the wall. So he, over the span of a few months, according to him, makes a long thought out decision that he wants to go ahead and transfer. This is even after he stuck it out for the spring, but he says after spring, he looks at the depth chart and he's third string. So a kid that's proven that he can contribute at the D1 level decides that he wants to go transfer. And in his words, at that point, there's no hard feelings. He just says, look, this happened. Doesn't look like I'm going to play. I want to go ahead and transfer. He says that he went through the proper channels compliance-wise to make sure it was going to be okay. He did really want to clarify today that he left in good academic standing. The classes that he mentioned in the article that he dropped were summer school classes, so he finished up his schoolwork for this past semester, was good to go, says that he had a 3.0 GPA. Goes and talks to Coach Snyder, talks to his position coach, Andre Coleman. Then at that point, asks for the release, is told that he's not going to get it, appeals. The appeal was denied yesterday, and here we sit. As far as the K-State side of the story, Bill Snyder gave this quote to, I guess you could say, both 810 and Go Powercat. They're the two that have used this quote. And Bill Snyder says, quote, it's my commitment that once we have signed the youngster that we're committed to him as long as he behaves himself. I accept a youngster that comes into our program as making a similar commitment with a handshake and obviously a signed piece of paper. I've always said a youngster is free to leave, but I'm not going to release the youngster. It doesn't mean he can't go someplace else and play. He can certainly do that. So to paraphrase there, the K-State standpoint is you made a commitment. You're not going to honor that commitment. We can't hold you here. You're free to go, but you're going to have to pay your way for 1 year. That's what's at issue here. He can go wherever he wants to go, but he cannot receive a scholarship or financial aid for the first year. So it's the matter of him having to pay for a year of college. And Bill Snyder's stance there seems to be that's the cost of doing business here if you are going to break out of your part of the contract. That's where we sit.
And
clearly there's a ton to get into from the Corey Sutton side of things, from the Bill Snyder side of things, but I think largely what we're going to be talking about today, and this probably will carry over into talking about it from multiple different angles over the next couple of days, but this is a system-wide issue with the NCAA, and it's kind of what college football and college sports has become, to treat this more like a business, which when you do that, you're going to have to deal with some of the ramifications, those being that if you're treating it more like a business, that makes the athletes more like employees than like athletes. And that's already been something that's been discussed at length from, you know, from the local standpoint with Letty Romero to the national perspective, and it's been beaten into the ground already. But it's not just a K-State issue is basically what I'm trying to say here. This is something that does happen other places, regardless of whose side you find yourself on right now.
There are two things here that I think we have to distinguish between, and it's along the same lines of what you just said there. There is the issue that I do have a problem with, and that is the structure of the NCAA, that the players do not have nearly as much power or leverage as the NCAA does, and the schools do in this case. K-State is operating under the construct that has been created by the NCAA. Use the phrase, the saying, teach me the rules and I'll play the game. This is within the rules for K-State to do. They are basically, I have not gotten anything from K-State's side. I tried, got nothing. But essentially here, my best guess would be it's just setting a policy that unless there are extenuating circumstances, we're going to block your release so that it doesn't allow other kids the slippery slope argument. If we start allowing kids in Corey Sutton's position to transfer, then everybody may transfer at the first sign of any kind of trouble. And you want to make sure that you don't just have a massive slew of people transferring because it's so easy to go ahead and get that release. So it discourages that. That is basically, I think, the motivation here from K-State. And we know there's a big transfer epidemic in football and basketball. It's happening more and more these days. And even after the public pressure has been put on them by Corey Sutton, now you've also got to start thinking about the fact that you would be setting a precedent that any kid that comes through gets the release blocked and then goes to Twitter and fires off three tweets about it. That's the way to get around it and actually get your release. So K-State does have some self-preservation interests here with, I think, the way that the policy goes.
It's just the problem here is that it is a public relations battle that it is very difficult for K-State and for Bill Snyder to win. And we've seen some of the reaction to it as more information has come out, as these quotes from Bill Snyder have come out. We've seen tweets from national media members saying that they have lost some respect for Bill Snyder as a result of this. But again, it is Bill Snyder playing the rules of a game that he did not write the rules for. That doesn't mean that K-State is totally in the right here. I mean, again, you can still stand up for Corey Sutton in this individual case as you could with anyone else, but it's so much more gray area than just are you on K-State's side or Corey Sutton's side, because it goes back to the NCAA and so many other aspects.
Well, there are a lot of moving parts here and a lot of things being balanced, because on the one side, you do have what I outlined, K-State trying to protect themselves from losing kids in the future and setting a precedent of how you would get around not being granted a release. But you also have the other side of it, which is the PR side, because you know the national reaction here is going to be overwhelmingly negative. We'll talk more about that in the next segment, because there has been a lot of it, even in just the last few hours. You're not going to win that PR battle. That could hurt you in recruiting. I mean, it's not a great look from that standpoint. So you have to balance out which one do you want to stand by, and it seems like obviously the choice has been made that they'll stand by going ahead and not granting the release. So I guess the way I would phrase my stance on all this is that I understand why K-State is doing what they're doing. I have a bigger issue with the way just the whole power structure is set up with the NCAA. You got to take this really all the way to the top if you are going to be very upset about it. And I've said I am a guy that would support student-athletes being paid. I don't know that I have the perfect solution for just how to do that, but I do think it's unfair that a Johnny Manziel jersey, for instance, can go sell on the shelves and make the school a ton of money and no kickback, nothing comes back to him. Goes back to the Chris Webber analogy. He's eating ramen noodles while walking down the street and looking at his jersey being sold in stores. I don't like how the student athlete gets put in positions like these by the NCAA, but K-State is also just operating under the construct of the environment that they're in with the NCAA.
The question I really have is how quickly can we see some resolution with this? Because we talked about yesterday how it would be in K-State's best interest to get out in front of this and try to dampen the story, get it over with before things escalated. But now here we are, and we have seen the national media start to chime in on this. And we don't know what Corey Sutton's next move is going to be. If K-State is going to stand pat to this, we don't know if he's if he actually is going to therefore leave and try to find another Power 5 school. But it's not something that's going to go away by the end of the week, I wouldn't think.
Let's take a quick phone call here, 537-1350, 866-776-1350 to join us on the show. We talk now with Rich in Manhattan. Rich, you worried about the PR here in combination with what happened with Letty Romero?
Yes, sir. I thought with Letty Romero, it very quickly devolved into a deal where K-State looked bad for being the only one that dug their heels in. I understand the legality, and I understand the trying to draw a line in the sand, but if you're the only one drawing that line, it doesn't take a lot for Bill Snyder to look like Mr. Fatherly, go from looking like Mr. Fatherly grandfather to looking like Simon Legree. If he's the only one that's not going to let players do this, you start looking bad in a hurry. That's my concern.
Well, certainly, Rich, I appreciate the phone call, and I think you bring up a valid concern, and that's basically what I was outlining. You got to balance the PR hit versus the slippery slope. How do you want to handle it? And it seems like K-State has made that decision. Because as to what you said, Tyler, what happens next? I don't know. I don't know that much does happen next. The appeal has already been denied in the Letty Romero case. Just going back and reading about that, K-State actually retroactively changed their whole policy on appeal so that they could then go ahead and grant Letty Romero a release. That was also under the previous regime, John Curry, the new athletic director right now, and Gene Taylor. That could be a whole other part of this that we're not really talking about. How does it get handled based on just having a new guy in town? We don't really know, because we don't know how Gene Taylor has operated in situations like these in the past.
And right now, K-State is going to lose a very quality receiver in Corey Sutton, but how much more could they potentially lose down the road through recruiting and other things like this if coaches are going to use this against K-State and Bill Snyder?
Well, I did dig a little bit on past transfers from K-State to find out about just how stringent they've been in denying releases. I'll give you some of that information, plus how the reaction will differ to this from a PR standpoint. I do think there's a big dividing line there. You're listening to The Game.